A young American lieutenant stands in the rain-soaked Italian countryside, watching ambulances carry broken soldiers through mud that swallows their wheels. He drinks grappa to numb himself, visits brothels without shame, and performs his duties with the practiced indifference of someone who's learned that caring too much is the fastest route to madness. This is Frederick Henry, and his story, born from Hemingway's own wounds on the Italian front, became the defining voice of a generation that watched the world's promises dissolve in artillery fire. What makes this novel extraordinary isn't just its unflinching portrayal of war's brutality or its doomed love story. It's the way Hemingway strips away every comfortable lie we tell ourselves about honor, duty, and meaning, leaving only the raw truth. Sometimes the bravest thing you can do is walk away from the madness everyone else calls necessary. The Italian front during World War I becomes a landscape of impossible contradictions. Majestic Dolomite Mountains tower over fields scattered with shell casings. Ancient churches stand damaged but defiant, while cafes operate beside field hospitals, and pastoral villages transform overnight into military outposts. It's a world where peasants tend vineyards wearing gas masks, where children play with spent ammunition, where soldiers discuss battle strategies over pasta in formerly quiet trattorias. Catherine Barkley deserves better than being remembered as just another tragic love interest. Loss burned away her capacity for self-deception. "It's a rotten game we play, isn't it?" she tells Henry, acknowledging they're using each other. She knows he doesn't love her initially, just as she knows she's processing grief through him. When she becomes pregnant, there's no melodrama. People have babies all the time. Critics dismiss her declaration, "There isn't any me, I'm you," as male fantasy, missing the point entirely. In a world destroyed by nationalism and rigid hierarchies, Catherine creates her own moral code based on personal loyalty rather than abstract principles. Her statement isn't submission, it's radical rejection of social convention. She faces death the same way. "I'm not afraid, I just hate it." No pretense, no noble sentiments, just truth. In a novel full of people clinging to comfortable lies, Catherine's honesty becomes revolutionary. Henry navigates the surreal Italian landscape with deliberate emotional distance, treating war like a spectator sport he's somehow ended up playing. He drinks heavily, seeks physical comfort without connection, and rejects the priest's suggestion to explore Italy's beauty during leave. Beauty and brutality have become so intertwined that distinguishing them feels pointless. When he meets British nurse Catherine Barkley, herself hollowed out after her fiancé died at the Somme, something shifts. Their relationship begins as what Henry dismissively calls a game, like bridge, two damaged people using each other for temporary comfort. But their connection gradually becomes the only authentic thing either can claim. Hemingway gives us no heroic charges or noble sacrifices, just endless rain, lice, rotting food, and casual death. When Henry gets wounded, the description is clinical yet visceral. You feel yourself rush bodily out of myself, and out and out and out. The Italian soldiers don't discuss patriotism, they discuss survival. War is not won by victory, one tells Henry. It is won by not being defeated. The most devastating moment comes during the chaotic retreat from Caporetto, when Italian officers execute their own men to maintain discipline. Henry nearly dies not from enemy fire, but from his own side's military police, who randomly kill officers to set an example. The institution meant to protect Italy is murdering its defenders. When Pacini tells Henry, "There is nothing as bad as war," it cuts through every patriotic justification. Henry's separate peace through desertion isn't cowardice. It's the only rational response to institutional insanity. He dives into the Tagliamento River, removes the stars from his uniform, and walks away from the collective madness. "I was not against them," he reflects. "I was through." Henry and Catherine's relationship becomes a parallel struggle against war. What begins as mutual exploitation transforms through radical honesty into their own private world, with its own language, rituals, and sanctuaries that oppose public chaos. They consider themselves married without ceremony. Understanding their bond transcends hollow institutions. When Henry suggests making it official, Catherine refuses. There isn't any me. I'm you. Don't make up a separate me. Their focus on individual happiness, amid millions dying for abstractions, becomes subversive. The pregnancy intensifies everything. They joke about keeping the baby small enough to become a jockey, normalizing an uncertain future. Their relationship becomes its own separate piece, rejecting societal rules for personal truth. Switzerland promises what war isn't: peaceful, ordered, clean. After fleeing across Lake Maggiore, they establish routines in a brown wooden chalet, reading, playing cards, walking frost-hardened roads. For the first time, they can simply be together. Yet Hemingway subtly undermines this idol. The very perfection suggests fragility. As Catherine's pregnancy advances, they must leave their mountain paradise for Lausanne, closer to the hospital. Rain functions as nature's indifferent witness throughout the Italian campaign. At the start of winter came the permanent rain, and with the rain came the cholera. But it was checked, and in the end, only 7,000 died of it in the army. 7,000 deaths mentioned casually alongside perpetual rain. Nature dwarfs human casualties. Catherine develops an almost supernatural fear. "I'm afraid of the rain because sometimes I see me dead in it." Her premonition proves tragically accurate when she dies hemorrhaging during childbirth in a rainstorm, and Henry walks back to his hotel through the downpour. Rain represents nature's continuance regardless of human tragedy. Wars, loves, births, deaths all occur while rain falls indifferently. Mountains stand long after wars end. Rivers flow regardless of who drowns in them. Nearly a century later, A Farewell to Arms remains devastating because it refuses easy consolation. Good people die senselessly. Love offers temporary shelter. The universe continues without regard for human emotion. Yet this unflinching quality isn't depressing. It's strangely liberating. Henry and Catherine's relationship succeeds because they strip away pretense. Henry's desertion rejects institutional lies. Even the prose embodies this ethic, removing flourishes to present experience directly. When Catherine faces death, her final words maintain this commitment. "It's just a dirty trick. No religious consolation, no noble sentiments, just truth." In the novel's final scene, the rain Catherine feared has come, yet life continues. The rain neither accelerates for tragedy nor pauses for grief. In a world still plagued by institutional betrayal and nationalist fever, Hemingway's message feels startlingly contemporary. His characters make their separate peace with corrupt systems while seeking authentic connection. The novel offers something profound: facing reality without illusion and connecting authentically with others remains our best response to an indifferent universe. Sometimes the bravest act isn't fighting. It's walking away from madness everyone else calls necessary, finding someone who sees you clearly, and holding on until the rain comes.